I just remembered to put the recorder on, so here we are. Okay, so yes, absolutely. Also, there's another saying. It's like, no matter what's happening, honor that person, whether they're dishonoring you or not. We've got a lot of noise in the background. I have to mute everybody. Can we take care of that? There we go. Okay, wonderful. Everybody's still here though, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Oh, wow, what a difference. All right. So it's like somebody dishonors you, honor them anyway. It just works. You'll be amazed. Like you use sentences like, what I see in you that's true for me. It's maybe sometimes I start blustering when I've got something else on my mind. And that something else actually dictates the situation that I'm in right now. For example, I might be angry at something that happened at work, which to me these days is kind of not, doesn't really happen much anymore, but let's say that's an example. And I come home and one of my grandchildren spills the milk and I snap at them because I'm angry, not because they spilled the milk. So when somebody dishonors you, it's a very similar situation. They're in a state of dishonoring. 9 times out of 10, probably 100 times out of 10, if you could say that, it is nothing to do with you. It's their state of mind, not yours. So if you wind up then dishonoring them, you've lowered the vibration, which opens the way for lower frequencies. And every pathogen in our body has a frequency. For example, we operate about 68 to 72 megahertz, or I think it's called HZ. And you go down to 55, you've got colds and flus and viruses. You go to 45, you've got Lou Gehrig's disease. You've got things like Parkinson's. You go down to 25, and you're pretty much approaching the end. So it's like we want to keep our vibrations high, and that is by controlling our emotions, our thinking, our connections, our isolations with our hearts. And when I say our hearts or our minds truly, that's every cell in your body. So your emotions aren't running you, your past thoughts aren't running you. But instead, you're presencing yourself and your heart in the moment, allowing yourself to have a direct connection, and then operating truly, truly, truly in the moment. That make a lot of sense?
Yes.
Ah, brilliant. And Gary, how are you doing?
Me? I'm
Yeah.
doing
Good.
good. Hanging in there.
You have any questions, ideas, indications, anything at all?
No.
All right, great. And Anna, how about you? Oh, did I lose you?
I'm good.
Okay.
I'm the one with the background noise.
Ah, okay. Well, it's sounding pretty good right now, so you can hang in there for a few minutes.
Okay. Yeah, things are going pretty well. Work has been kind of stressful this week, but I feel like I have a, steps to making it smoother. I'm on day 4 with no nicotine, no day 5, so I'm trying to.
Oh, congratulations.
Thanks. So I'm
Oh,
trying to
that is.
be just kind with myself and patient around that because it makes me irritable.
Ah, brilliant. What a great choice.
Yeah.
I went to the, I don't know if you've ever heard of this, but the it's called the Human Body Show in Las Vegas.
I've heard of it.
Yeah, they actually have real human bodies, and they put these chemicals in certain parts of the body that preserve them, and then they put like acid kind of things in the rest of it, and all the rest of the body disappears. So they might just have your skeleton left, or you might just have your entire digestive system left, or your entire nervous system. You could actually see it. It's just amazing. or just your musculature and your skeletal system. And so they can isolate these parts of your body and then have only those show. And these are real bodies that are being displayed. They had one show at the end, which was your lungs. And they showed a healthy lung, and then they showed a smoker's lung. Then they had a huge carton. It was like 4 foot by 4 foot by 4 foot high, and it was full of cigarette packs. People saw what the smoking did to their lungs and dumped their cigarettes right on the spot.
Wow.
Yeah, you should see it. They have to empty that thing. Like I asked the fellow there, they have to empty it several times a day, if you could imagine.
Wow.
Yeah, that's like thousands of packs of cigarettes. People, when they saw those lungs, when you actually see what's going on, what we do to our bodies as a result of what we're thinking in our minds, like what we have to do or don't have to do or shouldn't do, even not just ingesting foods or smoking cigarettes or chewing tobacco or things like that, but even the foods that we ingest and the thoughts we ingest. Like being careful what we're watching on television or listening to around us. Like Veronica was mentioning, you know, some people that were kind of dishonoring. And it's like, yeah, being detached from that and sending them love. Now, here's the key thing about sending love. You're the one that gets to experience it. You see, love is not actually a receiving thing. I'm saying sending love, but what I'm really doing is raising my vibration and being in the state of high vibration, in the state of action. Love is an outward centrifugal force. That's all it is. Wisdom is the incoming force. So that love, by the time it reaches somebody else, is in the form of wisdom. It's in the form of a message or knowledge. And that vibration then can cause them to raise their frequency, raise the energy level of love to a place that creates health and well-being. That makes sense. So let's raise the vibration even a little bit higher here. We're going to do a very short centering. And since I know you've all been practicing, the more you practice, the shorter it takes to get there. And the reason why centering is so important, and I teach this, and you say, oh, well, it's in the first module, and why do we have to keep doing it? Repetition works. Remember, this is only like 15 minutes or 20 minutes is 1/96th of the day. That's it. That means the other 1/96th of the day, the other 95% of the day, you're practicing something else. You see how minute that is. So if you center three or four or five times a day, or you do what I did, I just put the CD, I used to put cassette tapes on and do it all the time. I'm driving in my car and I try to recite it while I'm waiting in line. Every place, everywhere that I could imagine, I did it. And inadvertently, I trained my mind to focus. That wasn't my intention at the time. My intention was to stop my brain from chattering, to quiet it long enough so I could listen to the I Am presence within, my perfect self, my heart. So let's just take a nice deep breath in. Let it out. And you can do this with your eyes open or closed. And it sounds like, Anna, you're in kind of a busy place there, so just set your focus and set your intention with all of your might and all of your awareness. And tell myself, I now prepare to center myself. I close my eyes for peace and quiet. I straighten my spine to increase the energy flow. I just relax. Let go, relax. For soon I know that I shall be at the very center of my being, the holiest of holy places, the presence of the now. To begin this journey, I first visualize the most beautiful natural red color. Every time I see this beautiful red color, my entire body relaxes from head to toe. I just relax with each and every breath, more and more and more. My shoulders, even my temples and my forehead, my abdomen, my buttocks, my legs, even my toes. I just relax myself from head to toe. Whenever I need my body to relax, to allow it to nurture and cleanse itself brilliantly, I simply visualize this most beautiful red color. Moving ever inward to the center of my being, I next visualize the color orange. Orange is the color of emotions. Orange, like a brilliant orange itself, a natural orange color, fills my vision. Orange is the color of emotions. I release and let go all my emotional attachments to all people, to all places, and to all things and events in my past. For I truly desire to presence myself in this moment now. I even imagine that my chakra, my second chakra, I see tubes coming out of my chakra and going off to the right and to the left and above me and below. I just bring them all in. But that is the etheric connection to my past. I simply stop it now by commanding my emotional center to come back into my body. Next, I visualize the color yellow. Yellow is the color of the mind. I still and quiet my mind. I visualize the most beautiful yellow color, like the sun itself fills my vision. Peace, peace, peace fills my beingness. As I allow all my thoughts to go straight to the center of my head, I just let them all go. I direct them even to the center of my head. That is letting them go. No matter what is there, I simply direct it and redirect it again to the center of my head. Yellow is the color of the mind. I still and quiet my mind. I just let go. Having left my three outer bodies behind, I next move into the color green. Green is the color of peace. Green like all the grass, the foliage that surrounds us. I actually visualize myself interacting in a very beautiful and peaceful way, no matter what is set before me. I respond and communicate peacefully. And as I do this, I notice others respond peacefully, and even others, till it goes from person to person, to place, to town, city to city, country to country, world to world. Why, in this simple way, being peaceful myself, choosing peace, I effect world peace. And this opens the door to the higher spiritual angelic realm as I visualize the most beautiful blue. Blue, like the sky that surrounds us. Blue is the color of love, the outward centrifugal force. Whenever I need more energy to perform any task, I need only step into action as this energy creates more energy and more and more. Blue is the outward centrifugal force, the energy source of all that is. Love truly does make the world go round. Moving ever inward now, I next visualize the color purple, like a beautiful purple flower. Deep purple fills my vision. Purple is the color of aspiration. I go beyond thinking, I transcend all thought. I enter into the creative zone. I simply know. I transcend all thinking. I even know that I know. I know that soon I shall be at the center of my very being, the holiest of holy places, as I next visualize the color violet. Violet, beautiful light violet, fills my vision. I am now centering myself. I am at the holiest of holy places, the center of my very being. Peace. Peace, peace. I allow myself these next few moments in silence to go wherever it is that Spirit leads me to go. Peace. 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 And soon I know I must enter into the everyday world. So I complete my journey in these next few moments, and that is all the time that I will need. And to begin my journey back, I visualize first the colors of the rainbow in reverse sequence, beginning with violet, moving upwards and outwards to purple, upwards and outwards to blue, color of love, upwards and outwards still to green, yellow, orange, and red. I am enthused, I am enlightened, I am enriched with the knowledge from deep within, I just am. Now just take a minute and notice the energy around you. And I notice your workplace. Notice what may or may not look different. Notice how things become a little brighter. Colors. Essences. Each and every time we center ourselves, especially in groups like this, we become more centered than ever before. Does anybody have anything they'd like to share now? Perhaps whatever experience they had, it's really helpful to others. So we all get things a little bit differently, and we are all connected.
This is Veronica. I'll share something.
Ah, would you like to share it?
Yes. I find that I just really absolutely benefit from loving myself. As I go through the meditation with you, I really focus on listening to what you're saying, relaxing, and loving me.
Now just check into your whole body, everybody, as a matter of fact. This is a phenomenon that happens when we become peaceful, loving, and especially kind to ourselves. So just notice that. The first stage of any shifting or healing or event in our lives that needs attention is awareness. When we take the time to become aware, then you can do something about whatever situation it is that you're facing. But until you're even actually aware, there's nothing to do. Now, the way to become aware is to quiet the mind. And that's what this is about. So the little puppy that you're hearing doesn't get that yet. Isn't it nice to sit in silence and everything's okay? It's kind of like when we go sometimes on automatic, not where we're so distracted thinking about something, but where our I Am presence completely takes over. It's guiding the show. And when that occurs, all of your senses still work. You're just not conscious of it at that moment. You're more led. And you've probably heard it with people around you when they get like this. They say, wow, where did that come from? I just said something I've hardly ever said before in my life. And it actually changes your behavior. It changes everything that's happening. I've said it before a couple of times, each and every thought, now this is how these things start to connect together, creates a new universe. If you're changing your immediate environment by making different choices led by your heart rather than your head, you are completely changing your whole universe. It can change from illness to health, from chaos to quiet, from discontent to content, from scared to courageous, in a simple heartbeat. I heard a quote by Abraham Hicks, and sometimes I repeat things. I may have said this before. It's one of my favorite. We can create any disease in 30 minutes. And we can create any health in 30 minutes if we are 100% devoted to it. Well, this is why it's so important to quiet and still the mind, because we think we're 100%. Now, if we're thinking, we're not there. It's the difference between knowing and thinking. Knowing is going into the silence and then coming out and the answer pops up. Or the action just happens. Or the person that you want to talk to just calls. It's so much fun in my trade. When I call people, certain things all of a sudden come to me, and I may call somebody randomly and their first response is, God, how did you know? I was just thinking about you. My teacher used to do that with me all the time. He'd bother me so much, I'd call him up and say, what do you want? And he said, well, I just have to tell you. He'd just go right into it. He was thinking about me. Now, it sounds kind of funny and weird sometimes, but now think about that. I mean, really let it go in. This is our external organism called this planet operating at a very high level. So take that high level internal, speak to your own body as though you're speaking to another person. Speak to each cell, let them speak to each other. Open the door that they can communicate and pave the way to health, to relaxation, to happiness, to joy. Tell them, say, today I want you to really, really concentrate on being compatible, every organ with each and every other organ, to create optimal health for me today. Now, I'm quite young looking for my age, and people ask me, what do you do? What do you do? And I say, well, I center myself. Also, when I wake up in the morning, I say, thank you, God, for making me a little bit younger today. What I'm doing is taking the paradigm of getting old, a learned condition, and consciously changing it. Anybody have any ideas about that? Regards to their health and well-being. This is where we can go into the silence and then all of a sudden confronted with something to do and the brain wants to kick in and do a million things. And then it even says, well, don't say that or don't say this. It's not worthy or it's not right.
That's true.
Too trite, you know. Let me give you an example and then let's see if anybody talks. It's like I'm in a group of people and we're all doing this very, very deep meditation called centering. You might have heard of it. And and so everybody's talking about, oh, they saw this beautiful color and this light, and people saw visions and tunnels and wormholes, you know, and portals and things like this. And people saw very beautiful and vivid sceneries of people that they loved. And it comes to me and I say, all I heard was call the plumber. And I said, wow, really profound, you know. So I thought, well, you know, I'm a builder too, you know, so maybe I better call the plumber, you know. So I called the plumber up and the next day, and I said, hey, what's going on, you know? And he said, I'm not going to make it tomorrow. And I said, oh, really? Why not? You know, I was fishing. I didn't know what to say. I called him up just to talk. And I said, well, really? I said, you know, we have a penalty clause on this house, and this fellow's not one of our nicest customers. He's kind of an ornery cuss, and when things don't go his way, he takes it out on his family. So you need to get to work there, or I'll find somebody else to do it. This is the day we talked about. This is the day you need to be there. He started to give me a lot of heat, you know, and I said, it's okay. I don't want to argue with it. I'll just call someone else. Now, he showed up and got the job done, and we finished the house on time. And to me, you see, his family then did not suffer on our account. To me, that was a major healing. But it doesn't sound like it at first. Oh, call the plumber. I didn't want to say that. I thought I'd just make up something, but it's hard to do that around, you know, in tune people. Not the best thing to do. So, having said that, who might have something to share? Like anybody experience any colors?
I experienced a thought back on what happened last night.
Mm-hmm. And now, you want to tell us about it or give us the journal version?
Well,
this is our brain protecting something that doesn't need protecting.
it's really interesting in that last night I was having some foggy brain and we were at dinner with cousins, and I said to my cousin, I said, now, did you know that Mitch died? And she looked at me, and she tilted her head, and then all of a sudden I realized that was her dad.
Oh.
And I was thinking to myself, I had all of these thoughts going through my head, like, oh, no. Oh, shit. And I was looking at her facial expressions when another thought came through my head, And this was all instantaneous. It just happened so quick. And the other thought was that we're all human. We all make mistakes. Am I going to allow myself to judge myself through this, or am I going to love myself through this?
Ah.
And then another thought came to my mind was, you can't say the wrong thing to the right person. And if someone is going to take offense, it doesn't matter if you say anything right or wrong, they're going to take offense.
Yeah.
And I grabbed onto those two beautiful thoughts and let everything else go. And I said, I'm sorry. I just had a moment of fogginess, and I really didn't remember at that moment. And she completely understood. And then we went on with the other conversation. And as we were meditating, as I was meditating with you, that came to my mind, and I just felt all this love and happiness that I had made those choices to love myself and to not judge myself. And to not think that she's judging me. Because whether she is or not, that's not my business. That's not something I should adopt.
Yes, yes, yes. What anybody thinks of me is just none of my darn business.
It's not.
It's just them. It's their thoughts.
Right.
Just like anger is theirs, their anger is theirs. My anger is mine. My anger doesn't belong on you, and yours doesn't belong on me. And this is kind of what we do in life. It's what our brain does. It can't be me. It must be someone else. Like I was describing earlier about coming home upset and somebody spills the milk. Well, it's just spilled milk. It's not World War II. See, but in our minds, you know, we take our anger and then pow, let it out. Now, there's a saying that I learned in India with Sri Satya Sai Baba, an avatar there, and he said, one outburst of anger, unchecked, like not forgiven, unforgiven, and left raw, can take up to 6 months to undo.
Oh.
Yeah. I mean, these train of things happen. You know, you get somebody has a hard day at work. They come home, you know, and the dog's in the way, and they kick the dog, and they walk inside, and the dog, you know, poops on the floor, and then one of them throws the dog out, and the dog's mad because it got kicked out, and the mailman comes up, and he bites the mailman. The mailman's all upset, and somebody cuts him off from the road, and he shoots him. This is how anger works. You see, once that thread gets started, you know, if it does not get checked by somebody in that chain and sent back the other way, really just transformed. So, well, I want to take this anger and transform it into love. Love qualified by compassion or nourishment or peacefulness. It's simply a choice. You said so many things, you know, about loving. Yep. Gary? Was that
Gary,
somebody wanted to say something?
No, I don't think he is.
Oh, okay. Did you want to say something?
I'm not sure if it was him. Did I want to say something?
Yeah.
Well, I was just thinking, I have two sisters, and one of them started very desperately to get me upset.
Mm-hmm.
And I was kind of proud of myself because I just kept myself to, that's not my problem. I'm not going to get upset over it. If you want to get upset, that's your choice. But it's, you know,
sure.
I'm not going to. And
that's brilliant.
She just wouldn't give up. And... yeah, finally, it was like, okay, I'm done. You know, I'm not going to get upset over it. I'm not going to let myself, you know, freak out or whatever. That's your choice. And she ended up finally, it took a long time, but she finally apologized for really working hard to get me upset. You know?
Wow.
Yeah.
What a healing you just did.
Yeah.
You realize that. That's a beautiful healing.
Yeah, it was, like I said, it was just something that was new to me to, you know, react like that, and I felt good, you know.
Oh, that's
brilliant.
Beautiful.
See, that's the key. It's like when people get angry and then somebody, you know, feels like they're slimed upon, and then they resent that person. That's like taking a poison pill and waiting for the other person to die.
Yeah.
See, you're the one suffering it. So you say, oh, I'm not going to suffer this. I'll just send you lots of love. And here's a great way to disarm somebody that's doing that. Now, I'll give you a nice tool to use here. And that's simply like this. You say, wow, no matter what they say, so you're really upset about that. And that might escalate them for a minute. They go, man,
mm-hmm.
I can't believe how focused you are on this. Like, you have tremendous power of focus.
Mm-hmm.
You see, focus is focus, whether it's on anger or not. If they're good at it, they're good at it.
Yeah.
And so what you're doing is complimenting them on the good traits. It's like they have a big locomotive there. Depends on which tracks you put it on. One track's, you know, this negative addiction, and then there's another one that might be a positive addiction. Like, some people are more addicted to anger than they are to having fun.
Yeah.
It's kind of funny that way, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like we all have these positive and negative addictions. They all have prices and payoffs to them. So you take, as soon as you discover your negative addiction, like Anna has discovered a negative addiction there, and she's saying, I'm going to make this a positive addiction. And you just simply change your mind.
Mm-hmm.
Incidentally, I have something, Anna, and I want to get back to you in a second, Susan, but I don't forget this. It's like the Zen Buddhists will say, to reach for a cigarette is to avoid an emotion.
Mm-hmm.
So you're thinking about something, you know, and all of a sudden, it's like, a thought or an emotion comes up, and instead of going for that emotion, maybe it's something painful, you distract yourself. And you may reach for a cigarette, or you may reach for, some people reach for drugs or an alcohol or something like that.
Or food. People,
food, yeah, all sorts of negative addictions, you know. And it's one thing to fall prey to those, and it's another thing to say, nope, I don't do this anymore. Isn't that interesting? And that's what you said to your sister. Oh, I don't do this anymore. So the best thing to do is just state simple facts. Wow, that really made you angry. Wow, and actually, if you say it in this way, wow, I see you've decided to be really angry. Usually that sets them off a little more. But the truth is the truth is the truth is the truth. And people cop to the truth eventually. And you'll be surprised how quickly that happens. Wow, you're really angry. What's true, what I see in you that's true for me, is some things trigger me and I take them to the next situation. And here I am screaming at somebody that I love rather than enjoying my life.
Mm-hmm.
You see, just state your truth in the moment.
Hey, Greg?
Yeah.
I have a question. So what if they've decided that their anger is your fault?
Oh, everybody thinks that. I mean, that's an excellent, excellent question, because it's one of those obvious things that everybody misses. I've made poor decisions, and by the way, it's your fault.
Uh-huh.
You see, this is how people operate. And it's like it's an unconscious way of being. It's like, I've made these choices. And by the way, it's your fault. Like, for example, I might say, I'm going to a baseball game. Well, you know how noisy it is at a baseball game. And I say, oh, I don't like noise. And I come back and I say, look, all those people made all this noise. They're the ones that made me upset. Well, no, none of those people dragged you in there with a rope around your neck. You chose to be there. So you made a choice, but you want to make it about someone else. Worse than that, like that fellow we were building the house for, he made poor choices. And then he comes home And he literally, it was horrible. He would physically hurt his family. I didn't want to be any part of that. So I wanted to make sure we did our job right, so he wouldn't hurt his family. You see, I make poor choices and it's your fault. Now, one of the ways, you know, I was very good in construction. I was a master carpenter. And I started out doing a lot of work for people, you know, in high-end homes. And they would have another contractor that had been working with them. And they messed things up, something terribly. And so I'd start working, well, we're going to have to tear this out, we're going to have to tear that out, we're going to have to start over with these things. They get really furious with me. And I said, hold on just a minute, I'm not the one you're furious with. I cannot pay for your mistakes. I cannot pay for the fact that you did not check this contractor out before you hired them. You need to settle with them, with your emotions, not with me.
Well, that's beautiful.
Yeah, you see, it's very, very, you know, and people don't realize they're doing it. That's the thing. See, we make up that, we take it personally and make up that it's about ourselves. But it's not. See, if somebody, you know, is angry at you and they say, oh, it's your fault that I'm angry, and you get hooked on that anger, that's your own anger identifying with their anger. You see how it works? But you could say, wait a minute, I'm going to be loving and peaceful and allow their loving and peaceful to connect with your loving and peaceful. It's just a choice.
So we can allow their energy to affect us, or we can choose to keep our energy the way it should be.
Correct. I ever notice a bunch of puppies when they're laying around and one of them screaming and yelping and carrying on and the rest of them are sleeping or just wagging their tail or playing? They're totally unaffected by the mood of the puppy near them. They're completely in their own little worlds. It always fascinates me to see that. You think, well, because I know in a room full of babies, one baby starts crying, two or three start crying, three or four. Pretty soon they're all crying. Not all the time, and not all of them. You've probably seen that. I might have noticed it.
Yeah.
Just like you have a room full of adults, one starts playing Ain't It Awful and wants to get you to play. Now, if you start playing their game, you're playing Ain't It Awful. They've won. So you cannot, it's like saying, I'm going to fight for peace. You can't do that. It's an oxymoron. It's the most stupid thing I've ever heard. We're going to fight for peace. I'm going to peace for peace. In order for me to achieve peace, I would do just like what Veronica did and just like what you did with your sister. I mean, it's cool that you're both doing the same thing in a little bit slightly different way. So I see that's how you are. Wow. You're really angry. Come over here. Sit down with me a second. Let's talk about this anger. Then let's figure out what we want to do. You see how simple it is. And now, here's the real kicker to that. Here's what really happens when those things occur. Now, you unblock all the stoppages. You unblock all the tenseness in your body. You are nourishing and loving yourself in that moment. Here's a good statement to ask yourself. And if you don't mind, I'll use the word God. You can use I Am Presence or whatever you like. But it's to say, what is God calling me to be right now? Who am I being called to be in this moment? You see, when you redirect the attention back to yourself, things work a lot smoother. See, if they're tripped on an anger from something in their past and putting it on you, and you get tripped up on their anger and put it on someone else or try to put it back on them, well, what has happened? And your bodies get tensed and you're all diseased, which eventually turns into dis-ease. This is how it works. So what you've both done is so incredibly beautiful and indicative of the changes that are going on in your life and the awareness that is happening, that is occurring all over the world by people just like us who are devoting their time and their effort to open their hearts and their minds to really see how things work. You need to give yourself lots of accolades for that. Appreciate yourself. Smile, even now. Give yourself a nice big smile. Let that smile just reverberate through your entire body. If you can't manage it, put a pencil in your mouth. It, you know, sideways, it forces you to smile. Like if you bite the pencil, it'll force that smile, you know. It's brilliant and it works. We have just a couple of minutes, and then I've got to go to another call here. So does anybody have anything left to say here, or to add, or to subtract, or tell me I'm crazy, whatever? What's your thought?
Oh,
did I answer your question, Anna, too? She probably have to.
I think so. I mean, I guess it's like if there's a person who is destructive in their action and they're blaming you, they're blaming this person, they're blaming that person, like when and how do you just set the boundary to stop having that energy come at you, you know?
Yeah.
Or like, what if you do something wrong? Like, what if I did lose it and scream and then now they're screaming at me? It's like,
sure.
Oh, well, I guess it is my fault that they're upset because I ignited this.
Good awareness, and that's an excellent, excellent question because things escalate so quickly, so I want to address this one, okay? And it's like, yes, we all make mistakes, right? And it's like, I know this person to be loving and kind, but yeah, we did lose it and say, the best thing you can do, especially if they all of a sudden you realize you're in this firestorm, you say, you know what? I had some anger inside of me, and I unleashed it on you, and I kind of, you know, I get why you're angry at me. Let's start over. I see, you know, I totally screwed up here. How can we handle this? You know, being in construction for a long number of years, there's over 180,000 things that I need to know about, not necessarily know myself, but there's so many things, like there's 180 things that I needed to know. And there was like 180,000 things that I knew that I had to know that somebody else knew in order to have a house come together properly. Do you think that I made a mistake a couple of times? Absolutely. Sometimes I had to say, boy, we've made a mistake here. It's going to cost a few dollars. It's my mistake, you know, and I'll have to pay for it. Or it's something that we overlooked in the remodeling. We couldn't have possibly known it was hidden, you know, under the earth or something. And it's going to cost a few dollars. And that's not something I can, you know, do because it's just simply part of the job. Now, some people could get flustered and mad about it, but it is simply the truth. You see, always cop to the truth. Say, wow, I see. Yeah, I'm supposed to put the glass down over here. I was in a hurry. I put it down there. Let me pick it up and put it where it belongs. But you know what? Before we do that, let's clear this anger first. Because I'm really not angry at you. I was angry at something else today, and I'm sorry that happened. Actually, I don't even use the word sorry. I acknowledge that I was angry. You are always led by your divine presence. You are led to be angry. You are led to create things so that you can evolve fully through them and become who you truly are. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. So no matter what happens, take it back to the point where you're not angry and say, wow, you're screaming and yelling at me, and I realized that my part in this was I came in screaming and yelling. How could I expect anything different? Let's shake hands and make up here. Let's hug and start over again. Whatever's appropriate for the moment. Let's just take a breath. Let's have a nice glass of cold water. Whatever works. No cigarettes, okay?
Yeah.
Okay, I am so excited you quit smoking. I am going to support you and send you lots of love and energy around that.
Thank you.
And I am so impressed, Susan. Your voice, you sound so much more vital. I could barely hear you the first couple of conversations. You are really moving this.
I feel like I am, yeah.
Yeah, it is just amazing. I just was so excited to hear your voice. And Veronica, my goodness, I mean, everybody is making big shifts here. You're contributing to a community energy, and it's building now, and I'm just ecstatic. This is what lights me up. This is why I do this work. So I'm going to end with a little bit of a prayer here. So just sit quietly and close your eyes and just accept what it is that, ever it is that this means to you. May the blessings of God be upon you. May God's peace abide deep within your soul. May God's presence truly illuminate your heart now and forevermore. So enjoy those modules. Enjoy everything. Listen to them as many times as you can. Saturate yourself with loving yourself. Saturate yourself with creating right actions and new positive addictions in your life. You get rid of a negative one, put a positive one in its place. So that each time it occurs, you develop a new habit. Bless your hearts, bless your hearts, bless your hearts. God bless. Have a wonderful day.
You too, Greg. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye, Greg.
All right.
Thank you.
Lots of love.
Bye, everyone.
Yep. Bye.
All right.